Snow on Tuesday. There's always a naysayer somewhere. Anyway, this morning we're going to talk about what God requires, and I love that song that we were just singing. And freedom in this place, and singing about giving your all to Jesus. Giving your all to Jesus. And we're going to probably talk about that this morning a little bit. Thank you for having that song as a part of your repertoire this morning, team. So anyway, let's begin by praying. Father, I thank you today for your blessing in our lives. And I thank you that we can come to you today and, yes, indeed, worship you, lift up our voices. Lord, I thank you for a people that are learning in a great way how to worship you. And pray, Lord, that you would just move on our hearts from day to day to continue in that theme. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does God require is the real question this morning. What does God require? There's a story about Larry Burkett, a great Christian teacher who died a few years ago. And he got a phone call from a Chinese preacher who was in the United States raising money to buy Bibles for Christians in China. He said when he first met the guy, what struck him was his clothes. The Chinese man was a little guy, about 5'3", maybe 100 pounds, wearing a suit made for a man maybe 6 feet tall and 200 pounds. He looked a little odd. I guess he did. In broken English, the Chinese man began to tell his story. He had served as a colonel in the Chinese army under Chairman Mao Zedong. I can't say that. Mao. Yeah, that guy. And when Mao took control of China in 1949, he gave orders that many of those who might be a threat to communism be executed. And people with ties to the West, people with advanced education, Christians, executed. The number was staggering. And well, this guy's job was to lead a team that hunted down and eliminated these threats. In his travels, he came into contact with a group of people living in a northern province of China that had been led to Christ through the ministry of an incredible Christian man named Watchman Nee. And this community was more prosperous than most, and so he began to question some of the people. One guy that he approached was pushing a wheelbarrow full of manure out to the fields, and he asked the guy who the mayor of the town was. And you see, frequently they would kill the mayor first, and then the others would fall in line. And the man said, "I am the mayor." And he said, "You can't be the mayor. Mayors don't push wheelbarrows full of manure to the fields." And the man said, "Well, we do here. We're Christians. And with Christians, the leaders serve." Eventually, the soldier was led to the Lord by these remarkable Christians. And when he was saved, he was determined to share Jesus when he returned to Beijing, and that didn't work out so well. They called him a traitor, the highest-ranking communist to defect at that time. And to get him to renounce Christ, they executed his family in front of him, his wife and 6 kids. He wouldn't back down. Instead of executing him, they put him in solitary confinement, totally naked, for 20 years. He still wouldn't back down. For 20 years, the only people he saw were the guards who would beat him. And apparently, he led an astonishing number of them to the Lord. Well, when Chairman Mao died, he was released from prison, and he immediately began preaching Jesus. And after listening to the man's story, Larry Burkett asked him this question: "What is it about America that has impressed you? What is it about our country that has impressed you the most?" And he said, "What impresses me the most about America is what you are able to accomplish without God." He said, "You have made God fit your convenience. He is not the God of the Bible that I have studied. He said, you have no grasp of what you are capable of doing when you really draw upon God's power for your life, because you have built a God to meet your convenience. And you know, this story kind of strikes me because I think there might be something to it. It's amazing what the U.S. and Canada have built without being particularly obedient to God. And then we make God into someone who stands behind what we've accomplished. We did this. Look what God did. But even more than that, I think it fits the church. It's amazing what our churches have been able to accomplish, what our churches have been able to accomplish without God. Now, that's a little strong, I know, so maybe I should put it like this. It's amazing what our churches have been able to accomplish without radical obedience to God. We've tried to follow God, but not too closely. We've tried to worship, but not too unreservedly. We've tried to obey God, but not radically. Not too extremes, we haven't tried to obey God. Is that too harsh this morning? Is that too harsh a thing to say? Which has resulted, I think, in a church that is, for the most part, unremarkably in communities that are, of the most part, unchanged. Boy, this sermon has started out dark, hasn't it? You got out of bed to hear this? But here's the question for us today. Do you think that God really expects us to obey Him radically? Do you really believe that? When God tells us to do something, do you think He really expects us to do it when He asks us? We listen to what Jesus said. We listen to what the apostles said. We study the Bible. Do you think God really expects us to live that way? Like the way the Bible teaches? How much obedience do you think is acceptable to God? Good question. How much obedience do you think is acceptable to God? Do you think He's good with 51% of obedience? As long as we obey a little bit more than we disobey, just obey a little bit more than you disobey. Do you suppose that God kind of grades on the curve? You know, 90% obedience is an A, and you get a huge mansion in heaven. 80% obedience is a B, and you are average, so you get a condo. 70% is a C, and so you get an apartment in heaven. 60% is a D, and so you get to pinch a tent. And below that, well, you really won't need a jacket where you're going. Do you think that Jesus actually meant it when He said, you must be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect? He said that in Matthew chapter 5. That's a little over the top, don't you think? To be perfect, you should be perfect. But if you are a Christian, how much disobedience is acceptable to you? Or maybe the better question is, if you are a Christian, how much disobedience is acceptable to God? Do we really have to obey it, the explicit command, and only if we can find exceptions? It doesn't actually say don't lust in those words. Anyway, I can find maybe a loophole. It doesn't actually say don't divorce. It just says that God hates divorce. And so maybe I can find a few loopholes if I dig. It doesn't actually say don't swear at all. Well, actually it does, but it doesn't specifically say which words that we aren't supposed to say. It doesn't actually tell us that we should give 10% in the New Testament anyway. It just kind of implies that that's a standard that they followed. What if there's no explicit command for certain things in our life in the Bible? Does that mean that we can choose to disobey if there's no specific command? What if it's just something that Jesus would do? What if it's just something He would do? There's no command about this. It's just an example that Jesus has lived His life for us. Do I have to do something just because Jesus would do it if he was in my place? Do I really have to ask the question, what would Jesus do? Do I really have to ask that question? What would Jesus do? Have any of these questions crossed your mind? Any of them crossed your mind? Does God really expect us to obey him? Does he? Love one another, he says. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your enemies, he says. End your disputes quickly. Forgive in the same way you would want to be forgiven or have been forgiven. Wash each other's feet. Talked about that a little bit last week. Bear each other's burdens. We could keep going with all kinds of things that the Bible talks about. And where are we? What are we doing with it? Does God really expect us to obey him? Does he really expect us? Well, the answer is yeah. The answer is yes, God does expect us to obey him. Listen to what the Bible says. It says in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who calls out to me, not everyone who mouths the words to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. That's what it says. It's not just about belief. It's about obedience. Jesus says, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them, and anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And that's pretty strong stuff. If we love, we obey, and if we don't obey, I guess we don't love. The obedience is big. Obedience is big. Jesus' brother says, his brother James says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. So what the word of God says, we must do. I think of a whole lot of Christians are just fooling ourselves. You know that? I really do. I think a lot of Christians are just fooling ourselves. The Apostle John puts it like this. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. And in the early church, Christians took this stuff seriously. That was radical. It's radical stuff. Because in the early church, they struggled with sin too, just like we struggle with sin. But they didn't try to lower the bar. They didn't try to bring it down. Well, maybe if I just live like this. They didn't just shoot for 70 or 80 or 90%. They wanted to try and do the whole thing. They wanted the whole way. I think of that little Chinese guy had visited one of the early Christian churches. He would have been dazzled because they were trying to obey God in a world where obeying God was very, very hard. God told them to preach Jesus, and that wasn't just embarrassing to them. That was dangerous to preach Jesus in those days. And they were preaching Jesus to people who could throw them nakedly into solitary confinement for 20 years after killing their wife and kids. But they still preached Jesus. They still did. They preached Jesus, and the gospel spread like wildfire because they practiced it. It was radical obedience for them. They lived what they preached. They lived what they knew the Word of God spoke to them about. God told them to take care of each other financially, and that wasn't easy. The early church was a poor church. Don't know if you knew that or not. They were poor. There were very, very few people who had an extra buck at all, as it were. But one guy back then put it like this. He said, Christians live in poverty, but enrich many. They are totally destitute, but possess an abundance of everything. And that blew their minds. They practiced a radical obedience. A radical obedience to God. God told them to live lives of moral purity in a world that was a cesspool morally. Boy, it was really, you think what's bad here? It was bad then too. Where they lived, it was really bad. It wasn't easy for them to live a moral, pure life at that point. But the way they lived, they preached Jesus even more powerfully with their words. Man. One guy wrote this. He said, "They marry like all other men and they beget children, but they do not cast away their offspring. They have their meals in common, but not their wives." They practiced a radical obedience, and it was such a powerful way that they lived. Such a very powerful way. 2 points this morning. Number one, sometimes obeying God is easy. Sometimes obeying God is easy. But radical obedience is measured when it's hard. It's not difficult to obey God when we agree with Him. When we agree with Him. It's not difficult to obey God when it costs very little to obey God. But radical obedience is measured when we don't understand Him and when it costs a lot. That's radical obedience. Don't understand it, but it costs a lot. Second thing, grudging obedience doesn't count. Hear that? Grudging obedience doesn't count. The one's really hard, and maybe a bit overstated, but it doesn't build any favor with God to obey Him just out of duty because I'm afraid not to obey God. That's why I obey Him, because I'm afraid not to. They did a study one time with some college guys, and they asked these boys if they would rape their date if there would be no punishment. No angry dads, no angry cops. Would you rape your date if there were no consequences? And some of them admitted that they would. Others said, well, maybe not rape, but we'd push them a lot further than they wanted to go. And here's the question. Were these restrained rapists good kids? Were they good kids? When one of these kids went on a date and he treated his girl well because he was afraid not to treat her well, was he a good kid? Did that make him a good kid? I tell you, the answer is no. That's not a yes answer. It's a no answer. He's law-abiding. Yes, he's law-abiding, but he's not good. Law-abiding, but not good. Because if he was good, he wouldn't even think of hurting his girl. Goodness comes from inside, you see. Goodness comes from inside of us. It's not forced upon us. And when we obey God out of duty, we obey God out of fear, we are law-abiding, but we're not good. Radical obedience comes from inside. Radical obedience begins doing God's way, God's will, because it's right, it's reckless abandon, and no matter what it costs, I'll do God's will. Radical obedience is measured when it's hard. And radical obedience is not grudging. Well, I'll do this because God says so. That's not radical obedience. So how are you doing in the obedience factor with God? How are you doing in that area of your life? How are you doing with this stuff personally? How are we doing with this stuff as a church family? I think Hope is a great church. I do. I'm honest with that. I think it's a great church. While most churches today are declining, we've grown and continue to grow. It's awesome. And our influence in this community has grown well. It is well. People speak well of this church and this community. They see and understand that we care for one another, with those also in whom we come in contact with outside of the doors. They see how we treat them. They see how we love them. And we genuinely believe that our best years are in front of us. Man, we're looking ahead. This is just the beginning. Where we are now is just the beginning. It's simply amazing. It's simply amazing what we've been able to do without radical obedience to God. Do I hear an amen?
But if we were radically obedient, if we were a community of believers who give as the scriptures say we should give, if every family here gave 10% of their income, how do you think that would affect the ministries of this church? This is a good church. It's a church full of good people. It really is. And over the last 10 years, you know what? Churches in all of Canada have begun to decline. It's not looking good out there. It really isn't. We've grown. We've grown. That's exciting. That's an exciting thing. Hope is really a success story. You know, when I'm talking to people and I talk about this church, I can hardly contain myself to tell people what has happened here and how it happened. It's just such an exciting, exciting thing to see what God has done here at Hope Community Church. I don't know about you, but does it excite you like it does me? Like, wow. It's amazing what you have accomplished without fully being obedient to God. Oh, gee, Pastor, what are you doing? What are you saying? I'm not suggesting that God hasn't been in it. No, I'm not. Don't hear me say that the Spirit hasn't been active and using you. That's not what I'm saying this morning. What I'm saying is this. Imagine what it would have been done if we had all been radically obedient to God. That's what I'm saying. If we were radically obedient to God, there would be no empty chairs in this place this morning. Believe that? Amen. If this church family was radically obedient to the New Testament standard of proportional giving, we would be able to invest in ministry in ways that would blow your mind. Really, we would. I'm not telling you that this church isn't generous, by the way. I'm not saying that. But the reality is, it's simply amazing what we Christians have done without being radically obedient to God. That's what I'm saying. Did you know that we spend as much time as on our pets as we do with our churches, and we spend as much money, not as much money, we spend 10 times the amount of money on our pets as we do with our church? If you really want to assess the heart and follow the checkbook, see what the checkbook looks like. But this sermon isn't about money. It's about radical obedience and the difference that radical obedience can make. Just think about here at church. If we were radically obedient to God, we would never have to recruit another volunteer. I heard Kiana ask for volunteers this morning. If we were radically out for God, she would never have to make such an announcement. There would be enough people to go and help with that after-school program. There would be enough. Paul would have people lined up to help him on with the young people. They'd be lined up saying, Paul, can I help you? Can I be an assistant to you? Man, somehow can I help? You've got a job for me, Paul? There would be people willing to help with small group ministries, and the small group ministries would explode. They'd go crazy. We would have teams of people all over loving the name of Jesus. And if we were radically obedient to God, this place would be jam-packed and we would be multiplying our worship services. We'd have more than one. We'd be having a bunch of worship services. We had to figure out how to fit them all in. Do you believe that this morning? How about that? How about this? Do you want that? Would you like that? Maybe some people go, oh no, we don't want that many people. But listen, it's not just about church. What if we were radically obedient to God in our homes? Let's take it there, our homes. I can tell you this. If both parents in a marriage were radically obedient to God at home, there'd be no more divorce. Now, I'm not picking on anybody this morning, believe me. I'm just telling you, if we were radically obedient to God, it would be so radically in love with our partners and we would be so radically in love with God that our marriages would be altered and we wouldn't even dream of such a thing. What do you think? What if we were radically obedient to God at work?
And we did our work as God commands, as for God and as for men. We would do it as He commands. Our work ethic would be amazing. Our bosses would be looking. The way we treat our colleagues, the way we treated our customers, it would just be amazing. And employers would be looking here to find people from here because they'd go, those people know how to work. Those people know how to live and work and do it. They'd be looking for you. What if our youth, our young people, and our singles were radically obedient, obedient to God? Who do I date? How do I date? Who I marry? All that is conducted in a way that is God-honoring. There'd be no more teenage pregnancies if we were honoring God in such a way. There'd be no more cohabitation without marriage and all the unintended consequences that accompany that. What do you think? If we were radically obedient to God. Okay. But what if our seniors were radically obedient to God? Instead of retirement being all about me, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to look after me in retirement? Man, I can just put my feet up now and that's it. Now I'm free to serve God in brand new ways. Now I'm free to serve God in brand new ways. Do you think that it would transform the way we finish if we were radically obedient to God as seniors? Do you think we might even see a whole gaggle of senior citizens going to Zimbabwe? Man, think of all the people you'd be able to take with you, Barry, to Zimbabwe. To do the kingdom work, to do God's work. Well, would you want that? Would you want that to start happening? Man, all our people going over to Zimbabwe or I don't know, wherever else to help do God's kingdom work. Just think about the differences this morning radical obedience would make. If we were radically obedient to God, there'd still be tough times economically, but not nearly as many self-imposed by our own financial misbehaviors. And no Christian in this family who was facing a hard time would be going it alone. Our time with God outside these walls would be just so very, very rich. It would be rich. We'd be spending quality time with God every day. We would do life with God. That's what we'd be doing. Life with God. Our time with God inside these walls would be so much richer too. Can you feel what worship would be like in the middle of a family who was radically obedient to God? What the worship would be like. It was better this morning, by the way. These guys went to a worship conference yesterday. They came back all cranked. And it shows. It shows, doesn't it? And you guys got cranked with them this morning. Hey. Do you think it would be different if we were so radically obedient to God? What would you want? Here's the bottom line this morning. I'm not asking anything extraordinary of you this morning. I'm just asking each of us to do a little soul searching. That's all I'm asking. Each of us needs to do some soul searching. Are we trying to be radically obedient to our God? Not 51% obedient, 70%, 80%, 90%. Are we trying to be radically obedient to God? And if not, why not? Why are not we trying to be radically obedient to God? Do you think it would make your life worse if you were radically obedient to God? I'm not trying to teach you anything new this morning. I'm not trying to surprise you with something God wants you to do that you don't already know, because you do know. You know what God's up to in your life. For most of us, the issue isn't not knowing the issues that we're not doing. I'm just challenging you to do some soul searching. What's God speaking to you about? What has He been speaking to you about? Are we being obedient to what we already know God wants us to do? That's the big question, because every one of us is different. Not mostly obedient. Are we trying to be radically obedient to God? And if not, why not? Surely none of us would be so silly as to think that we were radically obedient to God that our life would suffer. It would be crazy to think that doing God's thing His way would diminish us. And the fact is, we settle for too little. I'm asking you, I'm challenging you this morning to go all in as a Christian, as a child of God. Now, I suspect that as I've been speaking this morning, that some piece of God's will has been stuck in your craw. Like something in your mind has kind of jumped up. All of us have places, flashes that come to our mind when we're challenged to obey, because all of us have a place, or two or three, where we've chosen to be disobedient. And what are you going to do with that piece this morning that's come to your mind? What are you going to do with that? What you usually do? Work up a little bit of guilt, and then get up and go and do the same old thing? Or will this morning be different? Will it be different this morning? Listen this morning, God loves with an incomprehensible, unconditional, unquenchable love, and that's why we're here this morning. God loves. God loves. But we sin, right? We sin. And our sin corrupts what God loves. And it started killing us in the Garden of Eden, and it's been killing us ever since. But God also rescues. And that's good to know that. We don't have the strength or the goodness to defeat evil on our own. There's no way. There's no possible way. We don't have the ability to breathe life into what our sins have killed. But God can, and He does, in Jesus. And then we choose. Today I talked about obedience, and that's choosing God's path. And then God restores. And when we choose God in Christ, through faith and through obedience, God restores. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. He starts working to restore what God has made us to be. He works in one of us, another of us, another of us. He works in each of us as we allow Him to work in us. What are you going to do this morning with what God has spoken to you about? I'm going to ask the team to come this morning. What are you doing with what God has done inside of you, how He speaks to you, the way you know you should be obedient? What are you doing with it? I'm going to use some words this morning from Rick Warren. This is his radical declaration to the Lord. And I don't know, is the PowerPoint working this morning for us? Is it up there? Okay, yes, good. I hereby declare my supreme allegiance to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to think of those words this morning and make them your own, if you will. I declare my supreme allegiance to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I say this, however, whenever, wherever, and whatever you ask me to do, my answer is yes. I want to be used by you in such a way that on that final day, I'll hear you say, well done, good and faithful one. I don't know about you, but I want to hear those words one day. Do you want to hear those words? Well done. King James, thou good and faithful servant. Do you want to hear that from God? Just shake your head if that's what you think you want to hear. Yeah, heads are shaking. That's what I want to hear from God. But it takes for us, therefore, that radical obedience. When God speaks to you and you say, well, God doesn't speak to me. Yes, He does. You know He does. Those little thoughts that come into your mind, those are God's thoughts. And He's speaking to you.
He's saying, you see that one over there? Go and speak to them. You see that one over there? Go and say hello, and here's what I want you to say to them. And we so coil back, we recoil, because we're afraid of the results of that. Listen, they're not going to pull, we live in Canada, they're not going to pull a gun and shoot you. But God wants us to hear His voice. We need to be tuned in, walking and talking with God, and when He speaks to you, that you hear it, and you go like, wow, I want to do this. I'm going to tell you something. As you begin to step out like that, as you begin to do those things, you'll find that God is faithful and that it was His word, and He's not just sending these words to you just to make a fun of you or to make a fool out of you. He wants to see ministry happen through you. That's what He's looking for, ministry. He's looking for ministry from your life. And so as you begin to move in that, you're going to find that God is faithful. And you know what? Then you'll begin to hear His voice more often because you're listening more often and longer and hearing it and acting on it. And as you hear it and as you act on it, let me tell you something. God is going to be faithful and you'll get so excited. You will be so radically obedient to God. You will begin to see things happen in your life. You'll begin to see things happen in your life. This church sits here today because you had a radical pastor. Amen? You had a radical pastor who got up one morning, instead of turning right, he turned left. That was it. He heard God speak to him. He turned left. He drove out into that, I don't know what you call it, where all the businesses are, the business community. And it all started there. You go like, yeah, but the church isn't there. But if you know the story, you know that because he did that morning, you're sitting here today. Amen. Radical. Radical. Listen to God. Obedient. And God will do wonders. He'll do wonders in your life and ours. We'll see wonderful things happen. How many want to see God do radical things in here? Yeah. Radical people for God. Let's be those people. Would you stand this morning? I want to pray because you know what? I can't just let you go like this. I have to pray. Father, I thank you this morning for this people. I thank you, God, this morning for this people who have come here to this place today, and we've been able to share together today in this message. As you have ministered to our hearts, as you have ministered to our souls today, and Lord, we have heard you speak to us, and I pray, God, that as we have heard you speak to us today, that each one of us would not just go out the door and say, wasn't that a great message? No, God, help to make each one of us radical for you. Men and women who are excited about who you are, what you're doing in us and what you're doing in our community through your Holy Spirit that works in each one of us. Thank you, God, this morning for that. I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. All the people said, amen, amen. Lead us.
You are the word of the beginning.